Well, thank you, Kate and worship team. It's great to come before the Lord. I don't know what happened this week. I tend to get a little tickle in my throat. So if you hear me start to laugh, it's because I'm being tickled. I was talking to somebody, and that happened this week. It just seems to happen. You ever get that? A little tickle in your throat? Makes you upset. Kind of gets to you, you know, when that happened. A truck driver is eating lunch in a truck stop, and three bikers walked in, and the first biker says, you're sitting in my seat. In fact, he said a little more, you're sitting in my seat. And then he walks up to the trucker, and he puts a cigarette into the truck driver's pie, right through the custard on top and right through. The second biker walks up to the trucker, and he spits on his plate. And the third biker walks up to the trucker and tips over his glass of soda. Without saying a word, the truck driver gets up, doesn't say anything, and he leaves the diner. A minute later, one of the bikers says to the waitress, that guy didn't have much courage, did he? The waitress replied, no, he's not much of a truck driver either. He just backed over three motorbikes in the parking lot. How many of you have ever heard the expression, don't get mad, get even? How many of you? Yeah. That's the way a lot of people handle anger. Did you know that anger is one of the most debilitating emotions that we wrestle with? One reason it's debilitating and paralyzing is it's so unpredictable. It can be on us almost before we know it, and it can wear so many different faces. Sometimes it can be an irritation, or the blurting out of a statement, or a word which we wish we hadn't said. And occasionally it comes out with such force that it results in hostile actions. And the thing about anger, it's so public. And you cannot hide anger. It's on display, everybody can see it. It's there for everybody to witness and remember. I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel 25. We're going to talk about anger today, because it's hard to control your anger at times. 1 Samuel 25, as we continue to look at the life of David, a man after God's own heart, the one who modeled patience for years under the spear of Saul. And you'll see today how he lost control for a period of time, and he became insane with anger. 1 Samuel 25, you're going to see how anger is controlled. Anger, first of all, is controlled by decision. It's controlled by decision. Now, look at this in 1 Samuel 25, beginning verse 1. Now, Samuel died. I can only imagine what was going through David at this time. Now, Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Moan. A certain man in Moan who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep which he was shearing at Carmel. His name is Nabal, and his wife's name is Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they'll tell you. Therefore be favorable toward me, young men, before my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name, and then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat and have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men coming from who knows where? David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. And David said to his men, put on your swords! So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. See, anger is controlled by decision. It's a choice that easily becomes a habit. I want to give you some background. During this time, most people who were working out in the field were shepherds. I mean, they kept the flocks of sheep by night. You know, that'd make a good song, by the way, if you want. And the herds of goats that were owned by the wealthy. I mean, Saul was still king at this time, and he commanded officially the fighting Israelite warriors. But David and his 600 fighters, they worked behind the scenes. They weren't only fighting, but they were also protecting. They were protecting shepherds. Now remember, David was a shepherd, and so he protected shepherds from the attacks of wild tribes that would suddenly overrun an area and steal livestock and assault small villages. So David was in the protecting business. And while sheep were sheared, the animal owner would set aside a portion of the profit that he made, and he would give it to those who protected the shepherds. It was kind of like tipping a waiter or a waitress. There was no written law requiring you to do it, but it was understood that you showed gratitude that way. So David and his men, they faithfully protected the flocks for a man named Nabal. And word reached them that he was shearing their sheep. His sheep. And so that meant, for these guys, payday! So after careful protection, David was certain he and his men would receive the money that they should for their labor. But I got to point out a few things about Nabal. Nabal was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and he was wealthy. In fact, the Hebrew term used there for wealthy means heavy. That meant this guy was loaded, you know? He had a lot of money. He had a lot of sheep. He had a lot of goats. He had everything. Nabal means, a little further down you'll see, means fool in the scriptures. So he was a fool. Now, a fool was a person who said, in the Bible, who basically said, there's no God. That's what it meant. He lived his life as though there were no God. And he was harsh. Now, the Hebrew word there means hard, stubborn, belligerent. And it further says he was very evil in his dealings. So Nabal was a dishonest man. Now, you got to put this in perspective. He was a demanding, deceptive, unfair atheist who was abusive. Now, his wife was just the opposite. Her name was Abigail. She was like, yeah, you know, this is wonderful. You got to get the picture here. You got to get the picture because, you know, David and his men, they'd done a great job protecting Nabal's shepherds from the thieves. They did their job quietly. They did it efficiently. And Nabal, he didn't really care because he only thought of one thing and one thing only, pleasing himself. His wife didn't even matter to him. In fact, he was so abusive to her. The sheep shearing tools made their sound. I don't know if they had electricity, but I'm sure it was like a pump organ or something. You know, this was payday when you heard that sound. And David's men go to the palace of Nabal, and they go in front of him and speak the way David asked them to. And David picks up swords when he doesn't get the money that he deserves. Now, can you appreciate this? Can you relate to the feelings these guys must have had at this very moment? They hear from Nabal, and if you notice in this passage, look at it and see what Nabal says. You know, he says, let me see. Nabal says, who's this David? Who's the son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water, the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers, and give it to men from coming from who knows where? I mean, my. You see where Nabal was looking? Mine. You ever been there? Some of you have been. Only two, but you know. And David, our hero, one who we saw last week refused to retaliate or fight back, even when Saul was trying to kill him, this is David. Great model of patience. How many of you have patience? Okay. Three liars in the room. David, great model of patience. David's men show up at the campfire without the tip. They don't have anything. Just a minute, I gotta wipe the spit off my butt. David said to his men, put on your swords! They put on their swords. David put on his. 400 men went up with David. They're going for Nabal. Have you ever had anger explode into temporary insanity? Because that's where David was. Now, okay, maybe he was hungry. I don't know. Maybe he was just having a hard time getting the fire start. Maybe Samuel died. I mean, they're mourning. I mean, maybe, you know, we make excuses when we're in the midst of an anger party. Did you know that? Elizabeth Kenny said it well. She said, he who angers you controls you. Think of that next time you're in the heat of anger. David proceeds with 400 men. Now that should handle Nabal, don't you think? 400? Wonder if that was enough. You see what happens when we explode our anger. It really does become a habit. How many of you are afraid of spiders? My family, we've taken up a hobby and it's being extremely afraid of spiders. Not my family, my brothers and I. I have four older brothers and they're supposed to come to your rescue in your time of need because they're older. But I was visiting my mom one time and my brother screams, spider! From the base, you know, it's just uncontrollable. You know, it's just, you know. I can hear this in the basement and I'm going, what's he doing? I can't believe it. So I go down the stairs. I run it down. I thought for sure something fell on him, like the roof. I wasn't sure because such screaming, you know. Something happened. Obviously something happened. So I go running down and there he is. There's a spider right there. Can you see it? Now, for those of you who are afraid of spiders, the spider is probably about that big. But in my mind, okay, because I'm afraid of spiders, this thing was a tarantula, okay? It was humongous. This thing was huge. And there's my brother trapped by the spider because it was by all these crystal goods, these things that my mom collects. I mean, she collects things. And she's got this crystal stuff stacked in these Rubbermaid containers. She puts them all here beside the washing machine. You know, kind of like, they're right here. And here's the spider guarding it. You know? Just making sure nobody gets that crystal. And so my brother's, you know, he took down a load of lawn and he's in full-blown panic mode. He said, kill that spider! I said, what do I kill with? He says, use your feet. I don't know, kill that thing. I said, my feet are too small. I got small feet. That thing's huge. He said, do something. And we're bantering back. You ever banter back and forth when you're upset and angry? This is where he was. He was screaming, kill it! Kill it! Kill it! You know, I thought, what happened to you? Did you, you know, something happened to you? And so I figure out, you know, I know what I can do with this. Got this huge spider. So I go running off. As I'm running off to find a piece of equipment to kill this thing with, he goes into full-blown panic mode saying, where are you going? Where are you running to? So I ran and I got a block. It was a bit bigger than this. It was a 2x10. And it was quite long. Serious. It was quite big. Okay. So I had this 2x10 in my hand. All right. And I come running in with this 2x10. Okay. And he's going, what are you going to do with that? I got to kill the spider, I said. I'm going to kill the spider. So I lunge back. Have you ever lunged back? I lunge back with this board. Okay, you're getting the picture? Smash the light up ahead. We're in complete blackness now. Okay? Seriously, complete blackness. My brother's going insane. I'm panicking. The board comes down, and all I hear is commotion. Okay? But the board's on the floor, and I'm stomping on this board. Okay? And as I'm stomping on the board, I lunge back because I'm tipping, and there goes the crystal. Serious. Smash-a-rooney. Okay? So the smash-a-rooney's going on, and finally my brother, he's gone at this point. My mom's coming downstairs, and she's not supposed to be downstairs, but she comes downstairs, and she's trying to, what's going on in there? Nothing, Mom. It's okay. Everything's fine. Do you know what? That spider the next day was still there. Did absolutely nothing. But you use a 2x10 to try and kill a little spider, you make a little bit of commotion, don't you think? David did the same thing with his anger. He did the very same thing. He made a wrong decision. Because nobody takes a sword along when you're going to have a chat. So do you see what emotion was ruling David at this point? You talk about overkill. 400 men with swords. David's lost control. Anger has turned to murder. Anger is only one letter short of danger. And when you go down that road, you can move into an area called danger. Because David's completely enraged. He's dangerous. And he made this decision. I mean, nobody held a sword to his neck saying, David, you got to do this. You better go after Nabal and you better kill him. David made the decision. You see what happens when you make a decision to be angry? It fuels every negative emotion within you. He sends his men to ask for money, and he can't handle the response. You have to make a decision today to get over being touchy. If you don't want somebody to be truthful to you, well, don't ask them a question. And anger, I mean, it can mask itself in so many ways. I mean, David was very overt in his anger at this point, but there are so many ways anger can exhibit itself. I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, you avoid touching the individual we're angry at. It's a way to mask, you sleep on the seam of the mattress rather than have any bodily contact with your spouse. You know, you're over here. You know what I'm talking about. We all put that invisible wall up at times. You make sure you're in the bathroom when they leave the house so you don't have to kiss them goodbye. You avoid being in the presence of with the one you're angry at, but we say we've forgiven them. I mean, when they come into the room, you leave. If you want to watch TV, if they want to watch TV, you want to go to bed. If you want to go to bed, you stay up and you watch TV. You know? When they want to eat, you're not hungry. They want to go for a walk and you have a headache and, you know? Yeah, I know. I'm starting to get a head fake right now. Yeah. Refusing to do things with the individual that we normally do. I mean, we do this, don't we? Won't call during the day, see how they are, and when you normally do. Some pastors, they use sermons for their anger. And they're angry at the church about something. They confront them. They won't confront them properly, but they'll preach it. They'll preach it through their messages that they got from God, you know? Wonder who God is, you know? And... Sorry. I got that head fake again. It's coming back. Is it hot in here or is it just me? Some mask their anger under the context of Scripture. I mean, they take the Scripture completely out of context. You know, well, I'm only speaking the truth in love according to Ephesians 4:15. And I'm doing this for your benefit, not for mine, because I want to help you and I care about you. We tell people the truth for our benefit most of the time, not their benefit. Our anger can become like a drama, and we're acting it all out in all these different ways in life and not admitting to ourselves we're angry. That's where David was. And that's where he made a decision to be. And most of the time, so do we. Anger is controlled by decision. Anger is also controlled by delay. You know, it's easy to fly off the handle. Anybody know that? Huh? Are you still here? Did you people leave? Okay, you're still. But you to take a moment when you're in that, to think through what just happened. When we're in the middle of the I want. It's very different. You see, waiting is not often the choice when we're angry. Well, look at this. Verse 14. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail. Interesting. They go to Abigail and not Nabal. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings. But he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now, think it over. See what you can do. Because disaster's hanging over our master and his whole household. He's such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins and 200 cakes of pressed figs and loaded them on donkeys. And then she told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. You think about it for a moment. I want you to get a picture. Her husband is aggressive, abusive, atheist. This would be an absolute perfect opportunity to get rid of him. And she gets word that David is going to finish him off. She could say, at this point, it would be very, very common for her to be spiritual at this point and say, I better pray about this first. She hears the pound of the horse feet arriving. She could begin praying, Lord, take him swiftly, you know? This is her chance. I mean, it makes sense. Nabal set himself up for this. He held back the pay. It's payback time. That's exactly how one would think. When God's not the focus. Here's my chance. It's all his fault anyway. This is my break, finally. But that's not what happens. Abigail took time. She thought things through. She waited. Seneca said, the greatest remedy for anger is delay. Sometimes when you're angry with someone, it helps to just sit down and you focus in on the problem. Some of you, you want to sit right down on the pro. Look at this. You'd rather sit on the person who gives the problem. I know, poor dog. I feel bad for him too. But you see, anger's controlled by decision, but it's also controlled by delay. It's interesting that messengers tell Abigail and not Nabal. And that's what happens when you're not approachable. Who knows what would have happened if Nabal was informed? So Abigail puts on a feast for these guys. And, you know, I'm reading it and I'm just drooling. 200 loaves of bread. I mean, it takes more time for me to buy a dozen donuts at a drive-thru. Abigail approached Nabal. I mean, if she had done that, you could only imagine what would have happened. It would have been instant suicide. Instead, she waited, thought through, ran interference for him. And in so doing, she saved his life. Temporarily. Saved his life. When we're angry, we need to delay our reaction. We need to pray. Get God's perspective. He gives us the wisdom we need when we ask him for it. Wait patiently. Don't keep going full steam ahead. Wait. Restrain yourself from anything hasty. you know, I should have thought through before I killed that spider. Because I never killed it. Should have thought it through. Because I could have used my foot. Or I could have used the shoe, like my brother's, you know. Should have thought it through. But it didn't. See, that's why James is so careful to point out, be slow to become angry. Slow it up. We're seldom sorry for things we didn't say. David and his men come down full tilt from the hill. The only thing louder than the horse's hooves are their growling stomachs. Because they're hungry. And their anger keeps increasing with each clop, clop, clop. They arrive, and Abigail gets off her donkey, and she bows before David. And look at this. Look at verse 24. She fell at his feet, and she said, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone." Wow. "Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal." This is her husband she's talking about. "He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my master sent." Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, and as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live." You see, there's definitely no cover-up here. Abigail did nothing to cover up Nabal, what he had done. And she delays David by pleading with him, "Please, please." She says, "I'm looking at the next king. Don't ruin your record with a murder. You're bigger than that, David. You've been wronged. But don't murder. David, don't." Now remember, David's in the heat of anger, ready to battle. Ready to make things right. Look at verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." And then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I've heard your words and granted your request." See? Did you know something? David could make a right decision even in the heat of anger. Even when he was insane with anger, he could make the right choice. You can see why God chose David as a man after God's own heart. I mean, he has this teachable spirit. He's never met this woman, and yet he listens to her without saying nary a word. He makes a choice at that moment. He makes a choice to change his entire demeanor. We can too. We can choose. A man after God's own heart is willing to change. We have the ability to be so flexible and teachable in the heat of anger. I also want to point something else out. Abigail was used greatly by God. You see what God can do? See how God can use you when you're willing to be used? I mean, if it were not for a woman named Abigail, David would have been guilty of murder. And then Abigail, later, after he was in a party, and he got drunk, and Abigail finally lets him know kind of what's overnight, and he has a stroke and he dies. You see, when you do what's right, God takes care of impossible situations. Because I'm sure Abigail had every right to say, I don't want to be with Nabal anymore. He is so abusive to me. But she did what was right. Last week we saw, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This is another case. There's no impossible situation that God cannot handle. He won't handle it necessarily the way we want him to, but God will handle it if we let him. So the question this morning, are you letting God handle your situation? Or are you too angry to let him? Blessed be God, because he gives us the ability to make a decision of whether we will be angry or not, and we can choose even to delay it if we want to. It's the choice within us. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just want you to take note that David's situation never changed. Nabal was still there. He still hadn't paid him. David's situation never changed. But David did. See, when you wait, your situation may not change, but you will. And when you take that moment to just delay, then you can make a decision that is right. While heads are bowed today and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to say, God, careful what you're asking him. God, take away my anger. God, help me to be flexible and teachable so that I can be a person after your heart, just like David. So even when I'm in the midst of the situation, even when I'm insane with anger, God, I can praise you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're calling out to God that way today, I want to further underline what you're saying to him and just lift your hand. Just lift it up to him. Just lift it up if you're saying that to him. Just lift it up. Just lift it high. Lord bless all those hands. Just lift them up. Just lift them up. Lord bless all those hands. Father, we come to you as people who hurt. And at times, God, that hurt can turn to anger when it's what we don't want. God, the outcome often angers us when we don't get our way. The outcome can easily anger us. God, when we're in that frame, we know it's not a frame that you give. But help us, God, to be like David, to remain teachable. Send Abigails our way, Lord, to delay us so that we make right choices. Because we know we have the ability, God, to make a decision to completely change our demeanor. And God, all we ask is for your will to be done through our lives. And even when we're in the midst of anger, God, we know that we need to be slow to speak, slow to become angry. Help us to listen to you so that your will and your purpose is accomplished through our living. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.